Arthouse filmmaker Ang Lee directs the big-budget adaptation of the Marvel comic book The Incredible Hulk. The movie features newcomer Eric Bana with Jennifer Connelly, Nick Nolte, and a computer-generated monster whose face was modeled on Ang Lee's. Film critic David Edelstein has this review.
Hulk must be seen to be disbelieved. This $150 million Marvel Comics adaptation is not Ang Lee's big sellout. It's actually a serious, make that a deadly serious, Frankenstein movie about an even more modern Prometheus and his genetically enhanced son. It has jacked-up comic book visuals, a strange claymation-like creature at the center, and a tone that's like a gloomy rewrite of Aeschylus, the sins of the father visited upon the unwitting son. In places, it's hypnotically bad, but it is hypnotic. In the script by John Turman, Michael France, and Lee's longtime collaborator James Shamus, the scientist Bruce Banner isn't just pelted by gamma rays so that he turns into the Hulk when he gets angry. Those rays now interact with his already mutant DNA, which was passed down by a mad scientist dad who experimented on himself when those churlish army officers wouldn't let him use human subjects. Bruce's egghead ex-girlfriend, Betty, played by Jennifer Connelly, explains that his anger triggers his new nanomeds, and that it's all connected to repressed memories that have something vaguely to do with his dad, his dead mom, and a butcher knife. Very mysterious. She points out that physical trauma can heal, but emotions go on and on. But Eric Bana's Bruce is locked in a puny kind of way. He's a little peevish, and he looks like Griffin Dunn crossed with Bill Murray. When he describes his Hulk experience to Betty as both horrifying and liberating, he doesn't seem especially horrified or liberated, just out of breath.
My God. It must be the nanomeds. It must be the gamma exposure, but we've never seen any effect like this before.
No, deeper. The gamma just unleashed what was already there.
Unleashed what?
Me. It.
It's okay.
Lee overcompensates for the central vacuum by giving the movie a speed freak syntax that shows the influence of the TV series 24, which can make you sick with suspense. But in Hulk, it's just a lot of fancy pants split screens and boxes within boxes and punchy zoom backs from things like frog's eyes. When Bruce starts to change into the Hulk, you get montages of reptiles and jellyfish and H-bombs going off. And then you get, well, before the movie was even screened, I heard the computer-generated Hulk described as Shrek on steroids, and I wish I could add to that. All he needs is a donkey sidekick. The decision to make the Hulk entirely computer-generated has its pluses and minuses. He no longer looks like an over-caffeinated, seasick bodybuilder. He's now the size of King Kong, which means more rock'em sock'em spectacle, but less honest-to-goodness fighting. And that's too bad, because the best thing about Ang Lee's Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon was the way that Lee managed to infuse his action sequences with a kind of psychosexual fury, so that the battle seemed like volcanic punchlines to matters that couldn't be settled over cups of tea. Here, when the Hulk starts flinging around tanks and punching out helicopters, the movie resembles a lot of anonymous Japanese giant monster pictures from the 60s, especially the one that in the U.S. was called Frankenstein Conquers the World, which featured a boy getting zapped by radiation and turning into a long-haired green giant. The Hulk has some cool powers, though. He's massive, but he bounces around like Tigger in Winnie the Pooh. He goes boing, boing, boing across the California desert. Actually, he doesn't boing, he kabooms. Every time he lands, you think the plaster's going to rain down from the ceiling. The Hulk's broad face was modeled on Ang Lee himself, and he and Connelly's Betty are supposed to have this King Kong Beauty and the Beast sort of bond. There's a great visual moment when she sees him for the first time, blending in with the green tendrils outside her cabin in a redwood forest. It's too bad she has to say, "Bruce?" and bring down the house. It's not the first thing that would pop out of most people's mouths when they saw a 30-foot giant. Betty's dad, played by Sam Elliott, is a general who wants to finish off the Hulk, but he's not an evil man, especially next to Josh Lucas as a scientist for the Atheon Corporation. He'd like to patent the Hulk and create a sort of uber-soldier. and especially not next to the movie's other dad, played by a twitchy and bedraggled Nick Nolte, who looks the way he did in that famous DUI mugshot. In the climax, he rails at his shackled son against a deep black backdrop. We could be in San Francisco's Magic Theater, with Sam Shepard standing in the wings. Unlike your average comic book blockbuster, Hulk isn't a bad cartoon. It's a bad Greek tragedy, and hence deserves our admiration, along with our mirth.
David Edelstein is film critic for the online magazine Slate. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our engineer is Audrey Bentham. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Seuss Boland directed the show. WHYY's executive producer of national radio programming is Elizabeth Perez Luna. Our theme music was composed by Joel Forrester and performed by the Microscopic Septet. For Terry Gross, I'm Barbara Bogave.